All right, what up, Lemonheads? We're back. I'm producer Fungus. Got my boy Xavi over here. This is season 2, episode 11. I know it says 10 up there, but it's 11 of the Vice City FC podcast. All right, we're Miami in a dominated the New England Revolution. So we're gonna touch on that. We're gonna talk a little bit about Orlando City as well. And let's get right into it, bro. Xavi, how you been, bro?
Good. Can't complain. Yeah. Ready to go. Happy that Inter Miami, despite so many injuries and setbacks, they're doing well. They're top of the rankings and the top of the supporter shield.
There you go. They do have a game in hand, I think. Or not a game in hand, the reverse of what that is. They've played an extra match.
Yeah, but they're still three points over the team under them. Mm-hmm. So if they win, they would only tie in points. And they're plus 10. So they're...
There you go. Okay. There you go. That's a tiebreaker, right? Goal differential?
Yeah, Miami right now is way ahead of everybody.
You got it. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's incredible. You know, this is what everybody expected. You know, obviously the beginning of the season was rocky. Being eliminated from Champions Cup sucked. But this is dominating MLS is what everybody expected from this team. So let's talk about this past week's match. Miami traveled to New England, and I think 4-1 is not really what everybody expected, but you can't be surprised.
I had predicted a 3-1, but it's first place against last place. What people didn't expect was for New England to score 1 minute into the game and for Miami to be down 1-0 so early. That's what nobody expected. But the record crowd went to see a show. They went to see Messi. They went to see the Fantastic. They went to see Suarez. Alba wasn't there. They saw Busquets. Busquets is super fantastic, right? He's always there. Yeah. He's always playing. He's steady. He's like the one that doesn't get like all those accolades, but like he's that glue that holds them all together, all four of them. So I mean, he is Mr. Fantastic.
You know why he gets extra points today, though?
Why he gets extra points? Busquets? Yeah. Why?
Because they all went to the Miami Heat game, and he's the only one that wore white. So he gets extra points for that.
He wasn't worried about all the fashion and the stylus and all that stuff. He went with his hoodie and the white.
He knows what's up, bro. White hot.
That's why he's a man. That's why he knows how to put the passes that, where they need to be.
Exactly.
Right now, Miami would probably use him. They could probably use him at point guard or shooting guard right now. They're not doing so great right now against Boston.
Yeah, man. So, let's talk about the game. You mentioned Miami went down in the first minute, 1-0. How did that happen?
Well, it's something that we've been talking about for a while now. It looks like Drake is not the same Super Drake, right? He made a mistake in a read of a ball. There's something up with him, and I think that's something Tata needs to address at some point early in the season. I think there is no doubt he is the starter for this team, at least for the season. There is no doubt about that. But there should be a little bit of a kick in the butt, maybe a bench for one or two games, that CJ play a little bit, or give him some time to readjust, if it's mental, emotional. We don't know. Because remember, we watch these games and we see these guys up there on TV, but we forget that they're human, right? So who knows what if anything could be happening. I don't know. I'm not reporting or anything like that because I don't have any information. I'm just saying as a person, seeing this kid – he's not a kid, he's 25, right? Seeing this man on performing differently, way differently than he did last season. He's still a solid performer, but he was a spectacular. Like last year was his breakout year. He was amazing straight. He went into the national team. This year he's not playing that way. He's making some silly mistakes. I mean, it's like silly mistakes. And he's costing the team goals. But luckily they've been strong enough to come back and get beyond the those mistakes, and it hasn't cost them games like it did in the Champions Cup, though. That did, I don't know if you remember the second game, Inter Miami, they needed to go out there and score a goal. And instead of scoring, Drake made a bad pass that he was trying to get to Busquets. He got stolen. Brandon Vasquez scores, and then they're down, and it all started going downhill from there. Like, he's been making those kind of silly mistakes this season, and it's not it doesn't tend to be that way. He's not great with his feet, but he's just been, you know, he's regressed, I had mentioned, for some reason, and I don't know what it is, but I think that's something that Tata needs to focus on right now and get it going, because you need your goalkeeper. You need that stud, especially Super Drake. I mean, he's a very, very good keeper. He might be going through a little rut, but he needs to get that fixed. And there I have the doggy and my 3-year-old walking out of bed.
There you go, man. All right, so you mentioned the defense earlier, right? I think the defense was a talking point early on in the season, right? Something that they needed to improve on, but
It's a talking point. It's going to be a talking point from the beginning and to the end of the season, because it's the one place where they don't have like a superstar, right? In the Jordi Alba, left back, but he's all over the place. It's been mainly like the center backs is what's been the focus of the weakness. You know, DeAndre was traded away, but Marcelo Chelo has been a very good substitute at a much lower price. I think he's done very well, right? He's played well. Tomas Aviles is coming into his own. He still needs to continue to grow. The biggest knock between the center backs is that in this style of offense, this style of attacking possession, you know, style that Miami wants to play, you need those two center backs to be able to possess the ball, hold, and give good clear passes out. Like you would want like a Busquets type player.
Yeah.
You don't find him anywhere. You know, back there, that's why Busquets has been dropped so much by Tata in between the two central defenders, you know, to actually help them get the ball out. But Freire and Aviles, I think, are doing an adequate job. And I think as the season continues and they continue to play, that back line, that Argentine back line right now, because Franco Negri is playing for Alba because Alba's injured, you know, I think that's a pretty decent, that's a pretty good MLS back line. And I don't think they're as bad as people are saying, or as bad as they might have been, you know, at the beginning. I think they've made some progress, and the dog agrees with me. They've made some progress. If you hear, and that's the female.
Your dog sounds like she does not agree, man. She sounds like she's an Orlando City fan.
She would be an Orlando City fan because she's very anxious and jittery, and it's a big pain in the butt. But, you know, the defense, I think, is not as bad as people are saying. I think they're good enough to win an MLS Cup. And now, like we were talking before the show, Franco Negri, luckily he came back from injury, and he's come out in good form too, right? Mm-hmm. He's covering for Alba. When Alba comes back, because he's coming back soon, you know, it was a slight hamstring, but they have to take care of that because it could become worse. And you know, especially a guy
at
like
that age.
Those speedsters, you know, that those hamstrings, it's always those speed guys, you know, and he's the one that still has some of that pop from all three of them, because Messi can still take off, but nowhere near what he used to be, right?
Oh yeah, of course not.
So he does it differently now. How does Messi do it? He puts the assist for the person, and then he
finds sneaks
the
in
spot. Yeah, you know, how does Messi sneak in? I think he must have teleportation powers, or he has to have something special.
Because, he's a ninja, bro. You can't hear him run.
Because if you're there, where's Messi?
Yeah.
I'm always going to be, if I'm a defender, I'm like, where's Messi? Where's this guy? And like, he just seems to float. He's here. Then he's over here. And all of a sudden, there's a pass going in. He stops it incredibly in pressure with three people on him, touches it, stops it, moves it, and scores. And it makes it look so easy.
No, it's like every famous picture of Messi in the middle of a game is he's always surrounded by like five guys. You know what I mean? I don't know how he does it. He always finds a way out of that. You know what I mean? And he's able to find the space. That's what he's really best at, is finding the space on the field. And he knows exactly where to go, where to put the ball and all that stuff. So.
And that's where they talk about that soccer IQ, right? That
he's exactly.
Like, he's so far above. And then it sounds like a cliche. It sounds like, oh, come on. But then you watch him play and you realize it's true, because he'll get a ball and he already puts it through somewhere where you didn't even know or think. And here's the barking dog. You don't know where she's going to put it. Like, they let her loose.
Yeah.
You don't know where he's going to put it. And he puts it in a perfect spot. And he breaks the defense down. Or like in the last game, Busquets gave him, you know, a pass in between, right? He just cut through diagonal, got the ball, boom, put it through. He's incredible. I mean, what else can we say about them? But like we were saying, the back line, you know, they're healing. Ian Frey is practicing with the team. He wasn't taken to Boston, which I think is a good move. You got to bring him back slowly. It's another young, fast, and he's very technical. So little by little, the team's getting there. Got Kramaski came back, and people, I got to tell Inter Miami Nation to relax a second, because I already see people saying, hey, bench Gressel and put Kramaski in and all this craziness. And I don't think Tata's going to do that, at least not yet. Because he specifically brought Gressel. Gressel is a veteran. You got to give him some respect. And he's been playing well. He's right up there in assists. You know, he's got like 5 or 6. I don't recall off the top of my head right now. But he's been playing well, and he's done what he's asked him to do. You know, he came in. He did a little bit of wing back, a little bit of fullback. He's played up top. He's played up forward. So he's been a good player for the team. And I don't think you just bring in Kramaski, even though he's looked great coming back, right? I don't think you just bring him in and start him like that. I think at some point, because we're only 11 games into the season, there's 34 games. There's plenty of games for them to play. So there's no reason to start that controversy or that nonsense. The veterans played well. The veteran needs, you know, to be respected. And Kramaski is going to work his way back in. So he just came from a sports hernia. So you got to give him a little time. But definitely, you know, we're expecting him to be, his ceiling to be much higher than what Gressel is. We're expecting Kramaski at some point to be playing in a good European team.
Exactly. Right? And not only are there all those matches for MLS, there's also League Cup matches. So
there's a lot of games.
There's a lot of games. Play,
man. So we got, there's plenty of games for everybody to get playing time. And they need everybody to be healthy. Campana came back. We need Campana to start ringing that bell and playing better, you know?
Yeah.
And then Bordelon got hurt. I don't know. I guess he hurt his hammy too. Like one comes in, one goes out. One comes in, one goes out. So they've never had the full team. So hopefully as the season progresses, they're able to get the team. But another thing that I want to touch upon quickly was Tata. Tata is another one that gets no slack, dude. They're in first place. They're the Supporter Shields leader, the Eastern Conference leaders. They're plus 10, and they're still like, fire Tata. Fire Tata. Yeah. Tata. Like, dude, what do you want? The guy's doing
– He's always gotten that criticism everywhere except maybe Atlanta. But everywhere he's been, Barcelona, Argentina, Mexico, he's gotten that criticism. Everybody always wants to fire the guy for some reason.
Maybe because he looks like that tranquilo grandpa. Like
he
grandpa.
Does.
He gives you that. So you're like, man, screw this guy. But I don't understand. Remember, we're playing MLS. This is Inter Miami. Inter Miami, their vision is to make it a global, you know, team and a global brand. Yeah. And they're in the process there because you have Messi, the biggest brand in the world, in the sports world, right? Mm-hmm. So Tata has a very good resume. If you go back and look at Tata, you can say he got fired, but Tata was Argentina, you know, national team, Mexico national team, Barcelona, like several top teams and even in South America. And then he won MLS Cup with Atlanta United. So he's got something that most of the coaches at MLS don't have, which is that repertoire, that resume that almost none of them have. Like basically none of them have. So why would you want to fire this guy when you're in first place, when the things are going well, despite the fact that every time we look at the player report list, Miami always is 8 deep, 9 deep players, and other teams have 3, 4. Now there's teams that I've seen because I look at it every week that have 5, 6. Now there's some that are starting to have more. But Miami from week one was, you know, Robbie Robinson. Where is he? He's missing. Never seen him again.
No.
I don't know if you remember in preseason, I asked a question about Robbie. You know, should Herons have patience with him or move on? And some guy that I think was a Robbie apologetic got pissed at me and accused me of like getting the fans to like want to kick him off the team. And I was like, dude, it's just a question, which is, I think, a valid question because the kid's been here forever and he's always hurt. And look what happened. Now he's hurt worse than he's ever been in the other season, because now he hasn't even been since the beginning. So I think once again, you raise that question. What's up with Robbie Robinson? Now you at what point do you move on? You I think you have to move on from him and not just for the team, but for his own benefit. Because sometimes when you're a kid and things aren't working out in one place, go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, right? The change of scenery.
Maybe he'll blow up somewhere else and it'll be a great story. Everybody wants, good things for the players. We want him to do well. But if it's not working, you got to say goodbye.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right. So, yeah, Miami's cruising. All those bad things people were saying about them early in the season are kind of being pushed to the wayside a little bit. Is there anything in your mind that lingers, realistically?
Well, as far
obviously,
as,
people are going to say things always.
But, Inter-Miami are the villains of MLS because it's like the whole the U thing, right? It's us against the world. Like, for some reason, the clubs, the fans from everywhere else love to see when Miami loses. So right now they're quiet, but they're just waiting. Yeah. They're just waiting to point and to say, I told you so. And you bought it, but you didn't build it, which is a bunch of crap. Because if you go look at the roster, you have a bunch of homegrown players that have come through the academy and that are doing well. You know, you have a lot of good players on Inter-Miami, there's a lot of young talent on this team. Yeah. So what's lingering? I think the biggest thing has to be the injury. At what point do we look at the team, the staff, and say, hey, what's going on here? What's the reason? What do you guys think is causing this? Is it the heat, from being there and playing in Miami? Is it being out at South Beach? Is it maybe not training hard enough, training these guys hard enough? What is the reason that we're getting continuous? And I don't mean the serious knee injuries. Like Facundo Farias, he got whacked, a dirty shot, knee busted. The other guys, if you're Ian Frey from last season, no contact, boom, knee, and he's had lingering knee issues. So if we're going to use the word linger, do you have to let it linger? You know what? It's those injuries, man. It's those injuries. I don't know what Miami's going to do. I think somebody did some brujerías, santería, something to the stadium, like an old Lockhart Stadium. Somebody buried something there because when they're going to knock it down. And they built on top of it. So like poltergeist, we're going to get something's happening there. Those injuries is what's lingering. If this team were healthy from the beginning, I think the story would have been different against Monterrey. I know Monterrey is a great, great team for this region, for what we have on this side of the map. But I think with a healthy squad, I think with a healthy, complete roster, Miami has enough to play with anyone here. So that's a shame. And that's what's still lingering, the injuries. Alba goes down. Yeah. Campana just came back. Borjolin is down. Alfonso, who's a young kid, only his second game went down, but he was okay. I think it was more of like cramps and things like that. But that's the issue. What's up with the injuries, especially the muscle injuries, right? The hamstrings, abductors, calf muscles. Like,
could it be dehydration? Do they train on grass or on turf?
No, the field is grass. The field that they're at is grass. Yeah. No,
I know the main field is grass, but the
training is beautiful grass, beautiful grass. It looks like what we say, like a carpet, right? It looks it's very nice, pristine. So that I don't think it's that, but people, that's where we have to maybe research now and see, okay, what does the science say? What are the probabilities of all these things happening, and maybe what could be the causes of it? That would make for a good article, but it's going to take a lot of research there, and hopefully if people talk and are able to express themselves and give answers, because Inter Miami is a team that's very quiet. It's kind of like that Heat culture too. They don't let too much information out.
Got you. All right, so let's talk about this game a little bit. Messi, 2 goals and an assist. Suarez scored off of Messi's assist. Cremaschi scored his goal. you know, how did
off a Messi shot that was blocked.
Oh, there you go. Maybe he was involved in everything, man. which is, you're not, that's not surprising, right? I saw after the match they ended, I think Messi is leading or tied for the lead in goals and assists in the league.
Yeah, after the game he was first. I don't know if anybody said him because he scored two goals and went up a 9. I don't know if Chicho scored again, but he what's so great, he's still doing it at age 36. He's going to be 37 in June. He's still playing at a very high level. MLS is not MLS from before. MLS is a very competitive league, very physical league, there's a lot a better quality league right now. So he's doing it against solid competition. You know, I don't think you can take anything away from him there. But he's doing it at age 36, and the most impressive thing for me is he's been able to reinvent himself, right? Because when it was young, if we had young Messi here, Messi would be averaging 4 goals a game.
Oops, for sure.
If we had young Messi here, we'd be having highlights where you have him taking 6 people on and scoring like multiple times. And I'm kind of exaggerating, but I'm not, right? I'm kind of exaggerating.
No, we saw him, do that. We saw him do that at the highest level.
He did it to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
In a semifinal game. Where you had Ramos, you had Diarra, you had like 4 or 5 guys going at him, trying to whack him, and he scores, and he put the shirt up. It's like, and now he's doing it in a different way. And that's where mentally, like, these are guys that just like own the game. You know, they see all the possibilities, everything. It's the Matrix, right? Everything's moving around him, and he just controls everything. And he says, okay, now I'm not as fast, but I'm still fast enough to do this. And just his quality, that's the one thing you don't lose, right? That's what they say. You don't lose the quality. The way he just controls and stops the ball, the way he turns on a dime, the way he puts the ball for the passes. You look at him, and very often you'll notice the difference right away, right? His passes seem to be like right at the spot where they need to be, with the perfect, you know, as hard as he needs to hit it or as soft. And then you'll see other guys, even Gressel, who's one of the better, you know, MLS players and providing assists and giving passes, you'll still see the difference in quality with Messi. So to me, the most fantastic thing is to see him at this age do what he's doing. It's amazing. I wish I could have been in Barcelona when he came, start at 16. Imagine those season ticket holders, because you know they own those tickets for like generations and families. Nobody sells those tickets. So you're there from 16. You see a 16-year-old boy coming through with Ronaldinho smiling, and you see him, you know, continue to become the greatest, maybe the greatest ever. Not to me, it's not maybe. To me, he's there. It's him and Pele for me.
Yeah.
If there's a discussion, I know people, Maradona, I love him too.
Yeah.
But to me, it's between him and Pele, and I think Messi, you know, I think Messi might be the best ever.
I agree.
To see that is fantastic. And now even at 36, when I'm there watching the games, in the press box, one of the games earlier in the season, there was a switch from, you know, the one side of the field all the way to the other side, and he just dropped the ball and killed it, like, with a little touch. Like he just
I think that was against Orlando. I was there.
Well, okay, yes, you're right. He dropped it. You're 100% correct. He dropped it and then dribbles and almost took the guy. Yeah. And I'm like,
that was incredible.
That was fantastic. And that's just, if you love beautiful football, you know, nothing came out of that play. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Like, how do you love, watch that game? It's so boring. No, but when you love the intricacies, the little beautiful things that are done, the skill that you see during, you know, these top players, that's how you enjoy the game. And especially the goals. Inter Miami is scoring at a high pace. They're averaging, I think it's 1.91, you know, goals per game. So
you mentioned earlier, they had the highest goal differential. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And the defense is getting better.
That's something that they have the best goal differential with the defense having a rough start to the season. Now they're getting better, but it's not like they have the best defense in the league or anything like that. That just goes to show you the rate at which they're scoring goals. Incredible.
At a very high rate, and with like injury, you have like imagine a Facundo Farias here and Redondo back. Like those two guys are you know, Argentine national team caliber players, and they're injured right now. Facundo's not playing the rest of this season, but Redondo's coming back hopefully within the next month in May. and he was playing fantastic too. He just came in and looked like he had always been part of the team. And he looked like a leader right off the bat. That's the first thing I noticed, that you have this 21-year-old kid asking Busquets for the ball or asking or moving and not feeling and not thinking he's any less or no, he wasn't. He's like, I'm playing it. I'm a hot shot. Let's go. So I really like that. I really like that.
There you go, man. All right. So next up, Miami's got the Red Bulls at home, right? Red Bulls are, that's a big game, right? It's a 1-3, right? Red Bulls are third in the standings in the East right now. So
they whoop Miami. They whoop Miami 4-0 in New York. If you remember, it's the one game where Miami was completely dominated, you know, beginning to end, the pressure, the intensity, and you know, the Bulls were missing players too. But it was the Lewis Morgan game, right? He had the game of his life.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he'll have that game again here, but the fans love him here anyway too, right? So he'll probably get some cheers and then some boos. But it's a big game because Miami needs to come back, you know, full circle and say, okay, you guys knocked us off. That was a fluke. Here you go. Pop, pop, pop. And show we are the class of the league. So if they win this game and they win it, if they win this game and win it convincingly, and I say if, because Red Bulls have had Miami's number and they've been able to play them well and tough and limit them. So they always do a good job defending Messi and defending, you know, Busquets. They're a tough team. They're a tough team.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a really, really good game. New York versus Miami. That's a good game for people to go out there and enjoy, because I think it's going to be a nice game. I think it's going to be a tough game, but I think Miami will pull it out because they have firepower and because their defense is better. I think their defense is better than it was at that point.
By the way, I expect there to be a lot of celebrity sightings at this game because it's the same weekend as the Miami GP.
Oh, man. So that's going to be cool.
There's going to be a lot of people in town. So if you're into that kind of shit, look out for that.
You're in Miami. Miami is exactly is that, right? That type of town, you know, looking at all the celebrities. Also, that's going to be packed. That suite in the bottom where everybody goes is going to be packed.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can get lost in there and somehow end up in the suite by mistake. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I in the wrong spot? This isn't the press box.
Do it. Just don't get us in right trouble.
Lemon City. Bye. Get out of here.
Yeah, for real.
F1 and FU.
You're gonna get tackled by Messi's bodyguard.
Oof. Man, he's pretty fast too. I don't think I can outrun him, man.
No. And there's some guys in the league that probably can't outrun him too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And he runs straight up too. He's fast.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. So before we end the show, I just wanted to touch on Orlando City a little bit. I know it's been a while since I've been on this show to talk about Orlando. They were struggling.
Orlando.
Yeah. Orlando City. They were struggling a little bit in the beginning of the season, and they kind of righted the ship, right? They went 4 games without a loss, but this past weekend, man, they totally just... I wouldn't say they laid an egg because they played a good game, but then they were winning 1-0 into stoppage time, and then they let two goals go in stoppage time.
And you don't call that laying an egg?
No, laying an egg is when you don't do anything the whole game and you score 0 goals. Dude, that's laying an egg.
You're going into stoppage time and you give up 2 goals to lose the game?
I mean, we're talking semantics right now, because I think laying an egg is when you literally do nothing. You know what I mean?
You're, yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
But they definitely they shit the bed. You know what I mean? That was if you're a hardcore Orlando City fan, that's an unacceptable loss. You know what I mean? That's, man, and that's, it's tough because their problems in the beginning of the season, in my opinion, are that the two big signings, which are Lodeiro and Muriel, were having a tough time acclimating with the already established guys. And that seems to still be continuing at this point of the season. Not only that, I think Pareja hasn't really learned or discovered what formation he wants to use, where he wants guys to play for the most part. Like in the previous week, he had Torres playing center mid, and that was the first time all season that he did that. Torres played center mid. He's still tinkering, and at this point, he started him again at center mid this past weekend, which is good, you know, for continuity purposes. But then the forwards, he didn't start Muriel. He started McGuire. He started Duncan, which, in my opinion, is a good move. Duncan is the guy that's scoring goals for that team. He's the only guy. He's the only guy that has more than one goal this season in MLS. You know, obviously, Torres has scored in CONCACAF Champions Cup, but in MLS, he's the only one that has more than one goal this season. So you gotta, I think you gotta start bringing Muriel off the bench or something like that, or maybe not starting him at all. Just let Duncan ride out the whole game, so that, because as soon as Muriel
What formation do they usually use? Do they use two forwards, or they just go with one?
They usually go with one, but I think last week they went with two, or the week before they went with two. I forget, but it's a lot of tinkering. I can't even tell you what they normally do because it's different all so often. You know what I mean?
But with such a deep roster, right? They have a deep roster, so you figured at some point established.
Yeah, I think he's obviously, you bring a guy like Muriel into the team, it's so he can start, so he can be the guy.
But you're paying him.
Exactly. But you know, it's when he's not, when these guys are not performing and they're not getting results, you gotta go with what's worked in the past. And last season, that was Duncan McGuire and Facundo Torres.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Those are your two young studs, and that's the foundation for the team.
Yeah, but I think
Facundo's there.
Exactly. I think you know, yeah, like you said, they are the foundation, but there's young guys like that in MLS are always one foot in, one foot out, because they're always getting picked up by, like Maguire almost went to the championship in England. Yeah. If it wasn't for that, Blackburn Rovers,
right? So it was two mistakes, like it was crazy, it was terrible.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that administrative error, he would be over there right now, and
he should have been
almost gone, getting relegated.
or he would have been tearing it up, and maybe
or maybe he would have helped them. Who knows? But yeah. So it's tough to build upon that. I think that's the tough part of MLS, is bringing up young guys and building on them, knowing that if they do too good, they're gonna go off to Europe. You know, that's tough. But yeah, man, Lodeiro and Muriel. Lodeiro's, he's done all right. He's scored a goal. He's got a couple assists. But he's tied for the league. I mean, not for the league. He's tied for the team lead in assists, but he's only got two assists. Like, what does that tell you about what Orlando's doing over there? You know, they're struggling, man.
The offense has struggled. Yeah, like you said, for some reason, they're not scoring. You expected more from this team. We all know that they're a good defensive team, but you expected with Muriel coming in, with Lodeiro, you're thinking, oh, these guys are going to be tough on the attack, and it hasn't gelled. And you've been, you know, we were on Pareja from the beginning. We're like thinking, is he on the hot seat? How's the fans over there in Orlando regarding him? Are they attacking him? Are they because at this point, you expect that this was a team that was expected to be a Supporter Shield contender. So a team that was, you know, expected to fight for the title. And everything that's happening right now is contradictory to that. And there doesn't look to be, at least from over here, because I haven't been on top of that team, doesn't look to be a way out. I don't see them turning it around.
No, but there's still plenty of time. The only way that they turn it around is for something to click with Lodeiro and Muriel. If those guys click with the rest of the squad and they start playing as a unit, you know, that's it. That'll solve all the issues they have.
How's the locker room there? How's the camaraderie? Are they friends or not? They're just they stick to each other, you know, different cliques, or how is that locker room?
I haven't seen cliques from you know, I covered them last season and I've covered them in previous seasons, and they've always been an incredibly united team, an incredibly united locker room, and that doesn't seem to have changed. Okay. I talked to Lodeiro after the game, and I asked him, you know, have there been any challenges, acclimating yourself to this team? And he's like, yeah, you know, definitely. It's new players, new tactics, and I feel like because the coach is still tinkering, it's harder for the new guys to get acclimated. You know,
told you all that. That's
he pretty... said that he said that he's still having trouble picking up the new tactics, I guess.
Okay, right? So maybe it's like he doesn't fit in, like his style of play doesn't fit in what maybe he's being asked to do. That's interesting, because a player like him and mm-hmm. to say that's a lot of information, which is
information. Yeah, I feel like he wasn't trying to throw anybody under the bus.
No. He's a quality guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he accidentally said a little bit too much. You know what I mean?
He was being honest. That's what I'm saying.
He was being honest.
You got an honest moment from him, which is awesome on your part. I commend you for that, because that's a lot of information to say that, you know, it is taking a little time, the tactics, this and that. So for a guy like of his stature in this league to feel that way, it's kind of funny. Yeah, I wouldn't expect that. And then Muriel coming, you know, from Italy, he's this big hot shot, and he's not doing it, you know. So,
and the interesting thing is, Muriel and Lodeiro, both of them are, when you look at shots on target, they're both in the top five of their teams, but they're not, you know, they're going to the target, they're just not finding the back of the net. So I think once that clicks, it's going to solve a lot of issues for Orlando. And they're going to be able to, you know, a lot of people are giving a lot of heat to El Pulpo for some reason.
Well,
like, I know he's made his mistakes, but man, there's been a lot of defensive breakdowns and things like that you can't put on.
Yeah, like in the game against Miami, he had nothing to do in any of those goals. I mean, they put four on. It was 4-0, right? You put four on them, or was it five? I don't remember.
I think it was five.
Yeah, 5-0. Yeah, that's right. It was cinco. You put up those goals, and he had nothing to do with them, but it goes on his record, right?
Like exactly. Yeah. So, man. But for me, there's one underlying issue in the squad, and it's that they still haven't figured out the continuity that they need for the rest of the season. They're still a lot of games, like you said, 34 games in the MLS season or something like that.
There's 23, 24. If they've only played 10, mm-hmm.
exactly
24 games, that's a lot of points for.
Yeah.
But we've been saying this from the very first game. Now we're in game 11, and we're still saying the same thing. I was saying, hey, this is the concerning part. This is a really good team. They can turn it around at any point. They can come back and blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And they're not doing it. 11 games.
That's the concerning. The concerning part is that we're still saying the same things about them that we were saying early in the season. But you know, they were a couple of minutes away from coming away with a W.
Yeah. They've had this past weekend. A lot of tough luck too, right? It just seems that sometimes there's seasons where things do go your way and others where they don't. And like right now it looks like it's not going their way, but you know, they have to keep fighting. That's a good team. That's a veteran team. That's a very talented team. Who's the leader though? Because you need a leader.
That's the thing. That's something that I touched on a few weeks ago. I think like a month ago, actually, when I last wrote about them, was that they had their established leaders that were young guys, right? Like Torres and Wilder. But when Muriel and Lodeiro come in, those guys. Yeah, you kind of deferred to them because of who they are.
Because of the experience and the trajectory of their careers, yeah.
Exactly. But if they're not, you know, I can tell just by speaking to Lodeiro that he has taken on that role in the locker room, right? But if it's not apparent to everybody, then you know, there's that communication. If it's not in the locker room, it's definitely not going to be on the field.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like when those two guys come into the game as subs, it kind of changes the dynamic of the team. And you saw it this past weekend. You know, they were winning. Those two guys came in. You know, I don't want to blame them because I don't. If you watch the goals that were scored,
you lose some intensity defensively because even at that point, the way the game is now, you're up top. You have to pressure the defenders. Mm-hmm. You know, get them to try to make a mistake. And Muriel never has been the type of guy that likes to like run down a defender or like, you know, slide to try to take a ball. He's not like that. And Loleda is one of those old school kind of 10 quality, you know, mm-hmm. South American players that don't do that either. So now you got two guys and you got a hole and probably right through the middle too with them. Yeah. So it makes a difference. They either got to concern themselves more defensively or they better start putting that ball in the back of the net.
Exactly. I think, So yeah, man, that's it. That's it for Orlando, bro. We'll see how they do moving forward. If they can fix those issues, you know, they got Cincinnati at home this weekend.
So that's a tough game. That's a tough, man. Yeah, it's a tough game. Lucha Acosta is playing again, you know, lights out, and he's a fantastic player.
He picked up right where he left off last season, bro.
Absolutely. I mean, this week he scored an amazing goal. He's leading that team. It looked for a second like they hit a bump, right? But they've set it straight again. That's a solid team. That's a very solid team. So the league itself, I don't know if you've noticed, we haven't talked about it a lot, and we're not going to do it on this episode, but the league itself, the teams are picking up young players now that are higher quality players coming in that are developing, but that they already have like a little bit of a status, and these type of players are wanting to come here to show themselves or maybe to get improved and maybe make the jump back. So the league is getting younger and it's getting better and it's more competitive. Look at the San Diego the team that's going to be expansion team. I forgot what their nickname is, but their rumors are that they're going to sign Chucky Lozano, which is, you know, he's a top player still, you know, in Europe. He's not a superstar, but he comes here. He is a superstar. You could say that he's at the level of Carlos Vela or maybe higher at that point moving, you know, into MLS. So the league is picking up players like that, picking up young players that are doing well and young American players are coming up, you know, through MLS and developing also. So it's interesting. It's been an interesting time.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, San Diego FC, by the way, just the simplest name you could have.
Just FC. That you know why? Because I'm thinking of the Surf, which is the famous club team. You know, they have a club team over there and like huge club team, and a lot of talented players have come through the pipeline. So in my mind, I was thinking Surf. I'm like, no, it's not the Surf.
There we go, man. All right, real quick, let's run through the top 10.
Oh, yes, sir. The Herons finally made it.
There we go. So
let's go from the bottom up. Let's go from the bottom up.
Bottom up, all right. Austin, man, why did you put Austin at 10?
Well, you see that they're starting to what we expected or what we wanted Orlando to do, right? Like kind of like they started slow, but we wanted them to start getting a little steam and start playing better. Is what Austin is doing. You know, they're coming off of some good wins, and they look like they got a team to compete, you know, out in the West. So that's why we got Austin. LAFC is always going to be a contender. I mean, they have the pedigree. They know how to win championships, right? And you have the French Connection coming soon. You know, Buanga and Giroud at some point is going to happen. So you got a very, very strong team and they're doing well. Columbus Crew has dropped. The champions have dropped because they haven't been able to get a result in like the last four or five games, like a positive result. Like, you know, it's been ties and they're doing well in champions and hopefully they put it off. I think the game's tonight, no? I think they played
tonight. Is it? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I was reading something about it. So regardless, it's soon. but they got a chance to pull it off. And they're doing well in Champions League. So, but that doesn't count for these rankings. So they drop. Philly, you know, steady. It's a steady team. They're not too high, not too low. They're steadily, you know, maintaining and hopefully towards the end go higher. Cincinnati has dropped some, but is getting like a little bit of fire back. So they might be six, but looking up. The Galaxy, remember when we played the very first game, I was impressed with them. I thought they were going to be a good team, and they have been, you know. And if Ricky Puig can take it to the next level and become that superstar that he has the talent to be, that superstar leader, you know, that he has the talent to be, they're going to be a very, very tough team. Vancouver is like kind of like a no-name team. I don't want to say no-name, but when I say no-name, I mean kind of like the Dolphins.
That like used to star play. Power.
Right. Not like the star names, but very
– no-name solid. Defense.
Exactly. You know, the very solid win, you know, ready team. So they're there. The Red Bulls, after shellacking Miami, they've shown that they are for real. They are, you know, they are bullish. They are a good team. Now, Real Salt Lake, I don't know if you remember, but I do know that in one of after we played them in the article that I wrote, I said that I really liked the firepower that they had, and I want to see where this team would be at midpoint of the season, because I thought they were a team that could, but they're peaking. I'm not going to say peaking, but they're showing something way sooner than I expected. I thought it'd take them a little bit longer. I think it was right after that game that you know, when I wrote the article, we beat them, I believe it was 3-1. I said, you know, this is a strong team, better than they showed, you know, in that game, of course, but they're playing Inter Miami, and they're interesting. And it was with Edwin, I was saying that team has like four or five Colombians. So that's like, that's like my B team. So I got my B team, and now we're going to my A team, right? Inter Miami. Yes. What can you
pity
say?
The fool.
I'll pity the fool. What can you say about Inter Miami? A team that has had those injuries. We mentioned, you know, what's lingered, those injuries. And somehow, some way, Tata, with all the hate mail that he gets and all the, you know, the stuff that people talk about him, he's got the team in first place. Yeah. He's got the team in first place. He's got the team supports you. What happened, you know, championship? Yeah, everybody wanted that. But he didn't have the players, people. It just – the team was injured. The team was hurt. And they just didn't step up at that point. They did a really good job against Messi. You know, those other guys are really, really good too. That's why Monterrey has won 5 times, you know, the Champions Cup. So – but we're talking about MLS. And right now, MLS runs through Miami. The power rankings run through Miami. The viewership runs through Miami. And that's why everybody hates Miami. They go to the stadiums, records, crowds. It's like they're the rock stars, right? Yeah. But they're the bad boy rock stars of the MLS right now. And it's funny to be bad boy rock stars because Messi's like the nicest, most humble superstar you will ever know, right? I don't know him personally that way. But you see from all the years, from when he was a little kid that you see the interviews to now, the humility and the way he is. And like he's never he is the best in the history of this game. And you've never heard him say something, you know, stupid like that, right? Everybody else says it.
Yeah.
Says he's great and he's humble about it. So he's just a lovable guy. So I don't know why you guys hate Miami. But, you know, you got to bite it this week. Inter Miami's number one, whether you like it or not. In the Lemon City Live MLS Power Rankings, the only rankings that count, really, you know, are the Lemon City Live rankings. Everything else is pure. I'm just kidding. But, you know, those are the rankings. Those are what we think are the best 10 in MLS. And I challenge anybody with our
rankings. There we go. Go. If you disagree, I just showed you the Instagram post.
Come at me.
Yeah. Go ahead. We welcome the comments, even if they're negative.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's negative, just don't be too crazy.
Within reason.
Let's be nice to each other. Even if we can agree to disagree. We don't have to, you know.
Exactly.
Be nasty.
Yeah, of course.
You can have a little spice. I like it. Bring it on. But just, you know, let's be cordial and respectful.
Exactly. All right, Xavi. Thanks so much for joining me, man. You have any parting words for the Lemonheads out there?
Lemonheads, I don't know how the Miami Heat's doing right now, but I'm
they lost.
By how much?
Dude? That he lost.
By like 20?
No, it wasn't that bad.
But you know what's up with the Miami? Look. We talk about
injuries. 102 to 88.
We'll talk about injuries. What happened? Jimmy Butler goes down. It couldn't be the last guy on the bench, right?
He couldn't hurt
his ankle. Jimmy Butler goes down.
Had to be Jimmy Butler.
The Miami Dolphins, you get Jalen Phillips gets hurt. Bradley Chubb gets hurt. Like, it's all the key players get hurt in Miami. What is in the water? What's going on here? What is it?
Maybe it's the humidity. You guys got to get better hydrated.
Yeah, they better chill. Better bueno. Miami, that's our team right now. When was the last time a Miami team won a championship? It was the Heat, right? Was it the Heat?
Well, I mean, last season, the League's Cup.
Well, no. But I mean, like, championship for the league. Like, you know,
it was the Heat.
La Cafetera's cool. You know, we like La Cafetera. It's cool. But I mean, MLS Cup. So
It was the Heat. The Heat are the last team to win the championship.
That's our best bet right now, Inter Miami. Hopefully they heal up and it's a long
way. Panthers beat Tampa Bay today, so
how are they doing in that series?
I think they just eliminated Tampa.
And Tampa has had their number forever.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be the year. And the Panthers
they look good.
Let's go. Let's go. Man.
Watch the Puck It, Send It In podcast with Jake and Alex. Those guys,
we gotta check them out. Oh yeah, no, we got two talking about young talent. Inter Miami has young talent. Lemon City Live is bringing it from the farm system up, dude. Those two guys Those two guys are good. And when they're famous, when they're famous in a few years, they better remember where they came from.
Of course. All right, Xavi. Have a great rest of your night, brother. And we'll see everybody next week. See you.